In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to beg your indulgence, because for the next few minutes I'm going to try to put into words the experience of standing here 30 years after I was ordained to the priesthood. If you had asked me then if I would be standing here, particularly in a traditional community as the rector of that community, I would have said categorically not. It was a different world 30 years ago. So much has changed, and not always for the better, but it has changed nonetheless. But there are some realities that have perdured as they always have, so it is now, and so it always will be. And when we come to such a celebration, it is that which we must remember. Not necessarily the individual pieces or the experiences from the middle or end, but that which has been continuous throughout, and that is God Himself. The first disposition is one of gratitude. Gratitude, first of all, in a very particular way, for all those who have planned today's celebration. A great many hands have gone into this, for which I am grateful. I'm not going to attempt to try to name everyone, because I will forget someone and then hurt someone's feelings, and I don't want to do that today of all days. There will be time coming up to be able to thank more specifically, but that needs to happen. I also need to thank in a very general way all of the people whom I have shepherded in the last 30 years. If they weren't willing to trust and have confidence in me as their shepherd, I could not have led them. This is a corporate reality, a communal reality, because God has intended it so. And while each of us plays our particular unique part, it is something that brings together the collective and the whole so that all of us can give fitting glory and praise to God. Shepherds need to lead, but they must have those who are willing to follow after them. And so for all those who I have led, I am particularly grateful. In a special way to all of you, precisely because we have navigated some various difficult and choppy waters over the last 8 years together. And admittedly, when I began, I knew so very little, and maybe there has been some wisdom in the intervening years, but the truth is, I'm not quite sure how much it is that I know, but I do know this, that God has always been the integral part holding all of this together and allowing us to experience the success that we have experienced. Again, something that we do together, not as individuals. And while we might have different ways of proceeding, we might have different emotions and feelings, we may like this or like that or whatever it might be, when we come here to praise God, we are brought together, body, soul, yes, but more deeply heart to heart, to give fitting glory and praise to God. And in that act of perfect adoration, to allow Him to sanctify us and to make us holy, to give us the strength and courage we need to put into practice the exhortation of our Lord in St. Matthew's Gospel, to go forth into the world, to baptize, to teach, to make disciples, and to do all of this in the name of the Triune God, that perfect communio into which we now have been drawn by not only the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that sustains us, but the glories of our Lord's ascension, who He Himself has gone before us to prepare a place for us. 30 years, God has blessed me. But more importantly, God used me and will continue to use me and has used me as an instrument of this evangelization to which He calls all of us. When I stepped into the pew at my ordination 30 years ago, my brother, my only brother, my younger brother, looked at me, and as only siblings can do, asked the question, "Why did God choose you?" It was an inopportune time to ask the question because it was too late. We had processed in. I was literally a half an hour away from having hands laid upon my head and being ontologically changed into God's priest. But it wasn't an invalid question, even if it was inopportune. Why did God choose me? Why does God choose any of us for the task that he sets before us? In some way, we can divine and answer that, but the simplest answer is because it is according to his divine will and his providence. I don't need to know the specifics. I have been given enough information not to be dangerous, but to be successful. Enough information to cooperate in the manner that God has asked me to, so that I never become a hindrance to grace, but become an instrument for its dispensation. Everything else, the things that I haven't always understood, the mistakes that I have made, which have been plentiful, at times the doubts, the confusions, and maybe even a touch of despair and sadness over 30 years, all of that pales in comparison to a God and his love and generosity and mercy continues to pour out grace upon grace to his priests and allows us to go forth and to do what we specifically are required to do. To baptize, to teach, and to govern. To allow you then the opportunities to live out your baptismal dignity in the manner in which you are called to govern and to teach as well. We know in a very real and concrete way, if there are no priests, there is no Eucharist, there is no church. It is that simple. The priesthood is not a functional reality in order to make sure that there is good governance or continuation. It literally is the presence of Christ, the high priest, incarnate here on earth, so that that which he says at the end of our gospel continues to remain true. I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world. He fulfills that most perfectly in the most blessed sacrament, but he likewise fulfills that concretely and allows his ministerial work to continue through the hands and the hearts and the eyes of his priests. It is overwhelming and awesome in the most beautiful of ways to stand here with all of you and to celebrate with all of you these 30 years. These 30 years of grace and favor. When I was celebrating my first Mass, and I must make a particular mention of a gentleman in this church with me now who was there at the beginning, and so it's beautifully fitting that he would be with me here now, Father Ed Nemeth, great priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis, a man that I have known for 32 years and was privileged to not only be present at his own ordination to the priesthood, but to preach his first Mass as well. Yet again, another example of God's grace and favor in my life. I remember thinking as I celebrated my first Mass that that was all I wanted to do, was to celebrate one Mass, and that everything else that came after would be God's grace. God has indeed blessed me. And I can only assume, as much as I am indeed ready to go, and you know I talk about leaving all the time, and not leaving here, leaving forever. That's not for me to decide. It's not for me to make that decision or determine the time. It is for me to continue to dedicate myself as God has asked me to do. And if that is another 30 years, God forbid, but if it is another 30 years, then he will likewise give me the grace and the strength that I need to do that which he has commanded me to do. At the conclusion of Holy Mass, we will sing the Te Deum in praise of the Holy Priesthood and in thanksgiving for God's manifold gifts. As we celebrate, especially today, the Triune God, the foundation of our existence, and the communio into which we are drawn, let us never forget who we are and whose we are, and the manifold blessings that have been bestowed upon us, and the many reasons we must constantly give thanks to God. For indeed the Lord has truly blessed us, the Lord has remained with us, and the Lord has given us strength and courage to preach and proclaim his good news.